Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast. Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And we're joined today by Dan Whitehead. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for coming. Are you excited to be here?
I'm so excited. I may burst.
That almost sounded genuine. That was nice. Now, Dan, you're a father of two, a movie buff, a video games expert, and you're a fellow Centre Parks fan, aren't you?
I am, yes. A recent convert to...
It's brilliant, though, isn't it?
To the way of the park.
Yes. I'm trying to get Helen on side.
You seem to be mentioning it a lot on the podcast. It's almost like you're wanting to get some sponsorship and or
I don't know
a
what
free
you mean.
Trip.
I don't know what you mean. Obviously, Eldon for preference. But yeah. I don't know what you mean. And you're also now a video games developer, Dan, aren't you?
I am, yes.
What have you developed?
I've developed an app.
Oh.
And it's a parenting app. So it's suspiciously appropriate.
Yeah. It's almost like we planned this, Ellie.
It's almost like we've invited you on because you're our friend and we want to help you promote that excellent product.
That would be outrageous, and I would leave immediately if that was the case.
Where's the ethics?
That's we it. Must ask we bribed ourselves. Him with cheap wine.
Yes.
Got him to talk about his own product. Now, as a surprise, I've got a theme tune for this podcast. Shall I sing it?
Oh, please do.
Do stop me. Ready? Dan Whitehead, do-do-do. He's the man who's a movie buff. He knows his stuff.
You're looking rough.
That was the next line. I was going to say, he's not too rough. Cause he's Dan Whitehead. He's the guy. The guy who plays games for little kids.
That sounds wrong.
Just for quids, like Ellie dids.
Wow! Do you know what? It started so well.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to go to a rhyme with muff, but it actually went a level below that. It went worse. It went worse than I thought it was going to go.
Literally, never been so terrified.
And off we go,
and we're off.
Helen,
I think that might be the best jingle you've. I think you should be very flattered, Dan, quite honestly.
Can you tell I worked hard on that?
I am flattered and scared. Which is a nice combination. I'm flared.
Dan Whitehead.
Let's not spoil it through repetition.
Yeah, let's savour the moment.
Yeah, keep it special.
I love that. Can you do a Bond-themed theme tune for every guest we have from now on?
I think that's a nice challenge, actually.
I would love that.
Yeah, I can't wait to do Jane Garvey.
I think it has to be a different theme.
Okay, sorry.
Because that just makes me feel not special.
Okay, so, very much.
Jane Garvey is forever. Something like that.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice. Anyway, welcome, Dan.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry. I'm already sorry. And I bet you are too.
This is why I have to sit in the middle, because then I can't get out.
That's
yeah,
right.
That's right.
Locked him around the ankles. That's it.
So we are, in case it's not clear, lovely listener, we are doing a movie special for this episode, aren't we?
Yeah, that was really cryptic in my...
Because you do, you know a lot about them movies.
I do, yeah. I'll go out with a picture palace.
Yeah, but you used to, because I met you about 10 years, probably more than 10 years ago, when you were editor of Movie Insider magazine. Do you like my Steve Priestley voice?
I like that, yeah. And if you're one of the 15 readers of that magazine, thanks for tuning in.
So you've been a film journalist for a long, long time. How many films do you think you've seen, Dan, in your whole life?
Probably a million.
Wow,
that's an exact figure. I don't know. I mean, back in my early young adult days, I used to watch 3 or 4 films a day.
Oh,
you know, wow. I'd get up and I'd watch a film in bed while I was having my breakfast, and then I'd go to work, and then I'd come back and I'd watch two or three films in the evening as well.
All of them with naked ladies in, or just...
Some of them had naked men as well. I mean, equal opportunities perfect.
So do you like quite highbrow sort of intellectual stuff, or do you like just a, you know,
Hot Tub Time Machine, which is obviously a classic.
Oh, that's a terrible film.
Isn't it?
Oh.
I quite liked it.
Dan's before we go any further, we must know Dan's professional opinion on Hot Tub Time Machine.
All right. Yes.
Oh. Anything that combines Chevy Chase, John Cusack, and a hot tub, Hubba Hubba Man.
Hubba Hubba Man.
Oh, lovely.
Elvis is in the building.
Anyway, just saying, just getting it out there, really. More
wish they would.
Yes, thank you.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about, do I like highbrow films?
Yeah. And I
segued then the conversation
into...
got all intellectual and we got
almost
distracted
immediately. Yeah,
by,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. Beg your pardon.
Yeah,
do you like that foreign muck?
I do, yeah. Oh, I like a bit of foreign muck. Swedish blue. I do like, you know, an intellectually challenging film.
Like a Von Trier.
I'm not a big fan of his. I find him a bit too...
Dark?
A bit too, yeah.
Foreign.
Grim and...
Yeah, sad.
And long.
Scandinavian. We just go on and on.
A bit deep.
Isn't he directing Hot Tub Time Machine too, though?
He is, yeah.
He's gonna put a real
black and white.
It's just John Cusack being castrated in slow motion for 90 minutes.
Hannah would love that.
While Willem Dafoe laughs in the background.
And Chevy Chase sweeps slowly across the deck.
And then falls over.
So as a video journalist, what am I, 1985? I'll try again.
Yes. Do you prefer Betamax or VHS?
So as a movie journalist, have you met some famous people? What have been the highlights, or who have been the highlights more correctly?
I think my personal favourite was when Hot Fuzz came out. Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg and Nick Frost did like a tour of the country. So I interviewed them in Manchester. And then after the interview, the sort of PR person from Universal said, they're doing this screening at the cinema tonight. Would you sort of come along and...
pick up the popcorn afterwards.
Yeah. Well, you could moderate a Q&A with them afterwards. Oh. I was like, yeah, go on. I'll do that. So I got to watch, I'd watched Hot Fuzz already that day at a screening, and then I got to watch it again, standing with Edgar Wright in the sort of, the ginnel, that's a northern word for you, in the sort of passageway into the cinema, and he was basically giving me my own personal director's commentary as we were watching it.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then I did a Q&A with them, and they're lovely guys, they're so, so sweet and just really so excited to be doing what they're doing. So that was probably my personal favourite.
Come on, give us some showbiz. But backstage, there were just mountains of cocaine. They were blowing each other's bumholes all day.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, you know, at least I think Simon Pegg killed a hooker.
But, you've heard it here first. Yeah, and the mummies.
Yeah, we hushed that up. And then Tom Hanks is very nice. It was at a hotel in London, and there's like a sort of room full of journalists, but it wasn't like massively.
Was it like a spit roast? Yeah.
Hanks, right. But no Hanks.
Hanks for the memory.
Spanks, but no Spanks.
Forrest Hump. We'll be here all night.
Yeah. Big.
But yeah, no, he was very down to earth. He was one of those people you kind of think, he's so famous. It's like,
yeah.
But then he just kind of walks into the room and he's like, "Hi, I'm Tom." And you just kind of go, "Oh, hi, Tom." And he's obviously very good at this because he does it wherever he goes. People go, "Oh my God, it's Tom Hanks." And he's very good at just making you go, "It's fine." Well, it's just, yeah. I think the weirdest one I ever did was I interviewed Anthony Hopkins on the phone. And the good thing about that one was it wasn't promoting a film. It was promoting a CD that he did of classical music that he composed. So, because normally you sort of have to ask all these questions about, tell us about your character, tell us about the film. But with this one, you could just sort of talk to him about why, music, Anthony Hopkins, what's that about?
Music? Yeah. What's that about? Yeah. Why bother?
He's off, when I was growing up in Wales and, he loved this. He was doing all that. And
found a violin in the charity shop in Swansea and off we went.
Pretty much that, yeah. But it was one of those weird ones because when you come to a hotel in London and it's all set up for the press and everything, it kind of, it makes sense that, there's, a famous person. But when you're sitting at home on the stairs surrounded by your children's sweaty school shoes and you're going, "I'm on the phone to Anthony Hopkins."
Yeah.
You kind of have a bit of a, "What's going on?"
Yeah.
And that gets a bit weird. And then I ended that interview by, because after he talked so much about music and how he loves it and how it's, it's what he's always wanted to do, but he got sidetracked into acting. And I just sort of blurted out, I said, "So it's almost like acting's just like the day job, isn't it?" And then I thought, oh my God, I've just said to Sir Anthony Hopkins. It's just like, you're the acting, you just kind of do that, don't you? Like he's a plumber or something. And it's like long pause, and then he kind of goes, "You know that's right." And I was like, thank God for that.
Now be nice, Dan. What's the worst film you've ever seen?
Oh, wow. I did watch the new Transformers film the other day. That's pretty bad. I don't know, it's so just, weird.
It's just things going...
It's so violent. I mean,
I wish you could see, listeners, the Optimus Prime style hand gestures that went with that noise. That was astonishing.
I know, you're missing out.
She actually turned into a Boris Minor.
So you've obviously been a film buff for a long time, but in that time you've had some children, and do you reckon that has had an impact on how you see films, or you've changed your taste in films?
Yeah, I mean, I still am a big horror movie fan, but I used to be a bit of a gore hound.
Yeah.
And I've heard this from lots of, sort of fellow parents who, were also movie buffs. They find it hard to watch really gory horror films now once you become a parent.
Yeah. After you've been through a birth.
Yeah. I don't know. I found the birth quite easy.
Okay.
I can't say anything for you, but
yeah.
But no, it's weird. It just kind of softens you, I guess.
I find it very hard to watch stuff about missing children now or dead children and that. Got through Broadchurch, mind you. But mainly because it was the funny accents. It was just like...
Sorry.
It's just like the Archers with murder. Really. It really wasn't a big deal. So you've got two kids. Do you ever actually get to go to the cinema these days?
Well, to see grown-up films.
Yeah, you know.
Not as often as I like, because I kind of feel bad if I go and see a film without my wife.
Correct.
She comes home and goes, "Oh, so great films today." she'll kill me.
Do you find it difficult to sort of switch off your sort of movie critic thing?
I do find that a problem because I do lots of DVD reviews as well. It means I probably end up reviewing everything at some point.
Right.
Mm.
So whenever I watch something at the cinema, I'm kind of mentally thinking, I'll make mental notes now because that'll come in handy 7 months down the line when I have to review this on DVD.
That'll save me some work.
That'll save some time.
Well, you studied cinema studies, didn't you, really?
At university, yeah.
Yeah, and I did too. And I remember sitting down trying to think, re-watching it after saying, I've just read my contemporary cinema theory and now I'm going to apply that. What's the director done here? What's his message? Where's the metaphors? Why is that, that there? And, so that changed in my 20s. I was trying to over-intellectualise and now I'm just grateful to be out of the house and watching a film and eating a lot of pick and mix.
Watching Weekend at Bernie's.
Yes, that's right.
You took it a lot more sort of seriously than me. I basically chose the film module so I could, because I was doing an English literature degree,
and
I thought it would just save time to watch videos instead of reading books.
Mm. That's the classic thing, is to go film studies, we'll just watch films.
I went the opposite way because I'm a history of art major, so I'm just looking at a painting. That doesn't take that long. So I upscaled to cinema, which made me sit and watch something for an hour and a half. So there you go.
No, and that we used to get essays where they'd say you can write, you can apply this critical theory, and you can choose any film you like. So I used to do like The Running Man.
That famous
mise-en-scene in the bit where Iceman gets done over with an ice hockey stick.
Oh, hell, like.
When did you last go to cinema, Helen?
I went and saw Box Trolls, which was fantastic with my kids. And it was a children's film, but it was quite dark. And it had this fantastic message about recycling, but also about acceptance and and about prejudice. You, Ellie Gibson, I'm trying to sound smart.
Recycling and acceptance.
It's the Wombles for the new generation.
Correct. See, Dan's being kind. I liked it. 4 stars. Thanks, Claudia Winkleman. And for the first time, because my kids are 6 and 3, they sat through an entire film.
Oh.
Out moving. We That's have good. Progressed, ladies and gentlemen. I did have to bribe them with a lot of sweets, but... It was good times. And I felt like this is it. These are the golden years. For the next sort of 5 years, we can go to films and have a nice time. But now it's more, I mean, I was often motivated to go to the cinema because I'm like, I've got to see this new film, you know, blah, blah, blah. But now it is just a place where my husband and I can sit side by side, not talking and looking at a screen.
Oh,
which is just like our marriage.
Yeah, and you don't even have to have sex. That's what I like. No. Brilliant. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You don't even get
if you want.
You don't even get fingered anymore. That's
well, nice. I know.
Speak for yourself.
See, Dan, you live up north. If you were luckily
quite common up there.
Yeah. If you were lucky enough to live down here, you could go to our local cinema, which is the Peckhamplex.
Yes.
Which is, I think it's like, isn't it $3.90? It's ridiculous.
No,
it's like
that sounds like a disease.
Or something.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's an ointment for that.
Oh. It's filthy. And people sort of, if the film's bad, people are quite good if it's a good film.
Yeah.
But if it's bad, people will just heckle it, talk to the characters, talk to each other.
Yeah.
I saw Cloverfield there. And, you know, at the end, without giving it away, there's this really, like, quite sort of atmospheric ending where the camera just cuts out and it's just white noise and it's just like... And the whole cinema was deadly silent. And then someone just went, that was shit. And, like, the whole cinema just, like, erupted into laughter. So I love the Peckhamplex because it feels like what it's I rough. Imagine Shakespeare's Globe was in the 16th century. Just people throwing orange peel at Robert Pattinson. That's... I highly recommend it. So, assuming we can get a babysitter in 2015, Dan, what blockbuster movies would you recommend for parents looking for a good night out this year?
Well, 2015 is going to be a bit mad for blockbusters because you've got Avengers 2 in May, Avengers Age of Ultron.
Did they not get Vengeance in the first one?
No, they're still looking. Shame. They're still looking. You got a new Star Wars film in December. Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh, what do you think of that title? Because there's a bit of hoo-ha about
Star Wars films always have bad titles.
That's what I think. I mean, nobody heard Return of the Jedi and went, nailed it!
Yeah. We just went like that because we were 7, you know.
Yeah! Jedis are coming back!
Yeah. They didn't, but that doesn't matter.
No!
Yeah, it's really misleading. Oh, there's a new Jurassic Park film coming out. Actually.
Is there?
There is,
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Jurassic Park.
It's called Jurassic World now. It's not just a park, it's a world.
Oh my, is it?
Like,
do you know
Disney
what? Blowing
World.
My mind.
Do you know what would be better?
What?
Jurassic Centre Parks.
Right.
Exactly. No, but imagine you're sitting in Strada and then a T-Rex just comes crashing through. Subtropical swimming paradise just overflows.
Absolutely.
Amazing. I'd watch that.
But you can get away because you've hired a bike.
Exactly.
You're all right.
Oh, exactly. It's just a whole lot of middle class white people dead.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
All the people who are doing archery have to come down and help out. The people who are painting pottery, they're no use.
People
they're
trying
useless.
To eat their croissants in peace and being taken over by Tyrannosaurus Rex.
That's
oh,
it.
Dear.
That's it.
Is the new Nemo film coming out?
That won't
Looking for Dory.
Be next year. Finding Dory, I think.
Finding
I
Dory.
Think they'll think they'll probably call it Finding Dory just because that fits with the.
Yeah, I don't know why I said it. Looking for Dory.
And then after that, you've got The Story About Toys 4.
Yes, yes. The Lion Monarch.
A company run by monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, there we are. Movie chat.
Mm.
What have we done, Helen?
We've eaten some snacks when you've asked me a question. Crack that nut, Ellie.
Okay, so it's time now for a game. Now, normally Hen does the games, but I've invented a game for this episode. Very excited about it. It's called We're All Going to Die. Oh, that's the name of the game.
Yeah. Technically true.
Exactly. Yeah. It's technically true, Dan. Exactly. But it is a movie game. And it's not even really a game. It's just a sort of box pop.
It's Freddy Krueger involved.
It's a segment, really. Mm. So, yeah, because we are all going to die.
Yep. Yeah.
And so I thought we could have a chat about what film you think you would like everyone, do you think everyone in the world should watch before they die?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's cheery.
It's quite deep, isn't it?
It's sort of like a shitter version of Desert Island Discs.
Yes, that's it.
Like
that's
a really
right.
depressing version of
that. Yeah, that was the idea. That's
someone
the
is holding a gun to your head. Yeah. Name a film!
You're not on a desert island, but you're going to die anyway.
That's right.
Yeah. No,
you've taken a trip to Switzerland and someone's got a syringe full of blue liquid.
Which of the police academies do you recommend?
Citizen on patrol, surely.
So what do you have one, Helen? Do you have, what do you think?
What my most treasured film that I would give to my children would be Strictly Ballroom.
Ah. Oh.
It covers all the bases.
Yeah.
It's about love, it's about dance, it's about Australian dorks. It covers everything. So that, in a nutshell, that would
be a good pick.
Does it annoy you that they've stolen the title for the BBC show?
No.
Even though it doesn't make sense to say Strictly Come Dancing.
No. And when I moved to this country, because we don't call it come dancing, and I was like, what's come dancing?
Yeah.
So that would be it. Because I don't know if my children will end up growing up in Australia or in the UK, but I think that encapsulates a lot of wonderful things about Australia that I still cherish, not the other shit that I've chosen to run away from.
So what's yours, Dan? What film do you think everyone should watch before they die?
I would say King Kong.
The original?
Kids. Yeah, oh yeah, the original, yeah. There's
Black and White?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Jack Black's so funny! He's so manic!
3 hours long, Peter Jackson.
Oh, and it had...
But yeah, I saw that film when I was like 6 years old on like BBC Two. They at least did like...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Seasons of old sort of science fiction films on BBC Two at Friday nights at 6 o'clock or whatever. And as a kid, I just watched those religiously. And I remember King Kong just blew me away. And it's kind of like the first blockbuster in a way. So it's like 1933, but the film just hits the ground running. And there's a little bit of setup at the beginning where it's like, you know, hey, we need a dame for this movie. Hey, there's a dame. Right, let's get on a boat. We're off. that's your plot right there. And then after that, it's just action scenes of like dinosaurs and a big monkey.
Yeah.
Big ape, technically.
But you feel very sorry for the ape at the end.
That's the genius of King Kong. And that's what Peter Jackson missed in his remake. Because the remake, he goes ice skating with Naomi Watts. And it's like, no, because if you watch the first film, she's scared shitless of him. And she spends the whole film trying to get away from him because he's just a big ape.
Yeah.
And then it's only the audience that kind of goes, oh, it's sad that he's dead.
And he didn't have a choice.
You know, it's only the audience that gets that. And the fact that you get that from what was basically a little model made out of rabbit fur and metal.
Yeah.
Is kind of amazing, and I think that's, you know, the fact that you know, Willis O'Brien, the animator, was able to make people feel sad for a fake monkey.
Mm.
Just through animation alone is really impressive. And then Peter Jackson spoiled it by making everyone go, we're going to be sad, aren't we? Because we like Kong and he's dead and we liked him.
Have your kids seen it?
No.
Are you scared to show it to them in case they're just like, what is this? This kind is rubbish.
Yeah.
If your kids were from Lewisham, which they're not.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of worry that the moment has passed. I should have shown it to them when they were sort of young and innocent like I was when I saw it. But
You can think it's rubbish, Dan. They aren't going to think it's rubbish.
I have found that there's not a whole lot of point going, you know, oh, I'll have this huge list of films that I will show my kids and they'll think they're amazing just like I did, because they're not you. And, you know, the
context is so different, isn't it?
Yeah, the films you loved when you were that age, they've got their own versions of that now. So don't get too hung up on trying to recreate your childhood through your kids by going, you know, oh, no, you've got to watch this because I saw it and I thought it was great. Because they'll watch it and go, yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
And then your heart goes like a little piece of glass.
Ellie, what is your film?
I think the film everyone should watch before they die, and I hope my son will watch, is Spinal Tap.
Partly
because,
cool.
You know, on one level, it is my favourite film. It is the only film I feel like I could never get bored of. Like, it's properly my desert island film.
Yeah.
And I even love, like, the DVD extras.
Yeah.
Have you seen, like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's amazing. There's, like, a whole other movie of outtakes and stuff, yeah. I mean, Spinal Tap is a perfect film, I think. There's not a bit in it that you would go, yeah, you could do without that.
Saying the word Spinal Tap brings joy, you just think, I love you, Christopher Guest. I am in love with you.
I saw it when I was a kid. I saw it one New Year's Eve. I remember it was on. I must have been maybe 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about it. And I thought it was a real documentary.
I take that. I remember taping it on one New Year's Eve. It must have been the same one.
Oh my God, there you are, you see.
Mm.
So I think it's brilliant. But also, I think it does teach you about not taking yourself too seriously and, like, being able to laugh at yourself and look at how just ridiculous, like, the world of work is. That's one of the things we first bonded over as well, isn't it?
That's right. Ellie and I had our first date. And we went to the pub and realised that we both love Christopher Guest films. And I think it's a deal breaker, I reckon.
Yeah.
I reckon those are the things where, you know, despite my husband and I, you know, going through 16 years of a relationship, we will sit down and we'll watch a Christopher Guest film and all the problems will just melt away. We will laugh at the same things. We will find joy. And that's a good filmmaker, isn't it?
He can
do that. He can provide.
I mean, before the kids came along, me and my wife used to have like regular weekends where we would each pick three films that the other person hadn't seen that we thought they should see.
Oh.
And we would sort of, you know, take it in turns, just stay in and just watch like films all weekend, and it'd be like, you know.
So you picked Animal Farm.
It's a George Orwell classic. I don't know what you
mean. A Spanish one, Dan. You know what I'm talking about. Pete has a private film, and I'm not. I'm not talking about. Although
you're
I
not
have,
talking about the Nun film.
No, yeah. So I came. I oh, might have seen it. I posted on my Facebook page. When I was doing gigs, I would come home. We've got Sky, and I would like switch on my TV, and like Pete would often forget to turn the Sky box off.
Mm-hmm.
So the last channel he was watching, and quite often he'd be watching Movies for Men. I don't know if you've seen that.
I'm aware of it.
Yeah. It's like a late night. It's not exactly pornography.
No, it's
but
it's a bit TNA.
Yeah.
Is it?
And I came home one night and he'd been watching a film called Nuns with Big Guns. But it was actual guns. It wasn't like a metaphor.
It was like big biceps.
No, that's it. You know, it's at the dawn of internet history and this. You do get a window into your husband's, interests.
But apart from that, Pete has a film. He likes to, every about six months, I watch Spinal Tap to remind myself of my own ridiculousness.
Yeah.
My husband watches The Pianist, the film about the Holocaust, Adrian Brody.
So light.
And he cries.
Wow.
And he says it just releases all of the tension and all of his guilt about the Holocaust. He wasn't a Nazi.
No.
He wasn't in it. But, like, it releases a lot of emotional...
Paint a picture, Ellie.
Yeah. No, he says he finds it a very good emotional release. He just sits there, has
a
good cry.
The Pianist is an excellent film, but I don't think I can watch it again. I think it has had burnished an image on me that I go, you know what? I've seen it, and it's yeah. Yeah.
I feel a bit weird about using the Holocaust to make myself feel better. That sounds like the actions of a sociopath.
And at this point in the podcast, we say hello to Pete's work colleagues.
I actually asked him if I could talk about the pianist thing. I got his permission.
Okay, great.
I didn't actually get his permission for the nuns.
I was
going
to say, you had to ask about the pianist, but not the nuns.
Let's see what stays in the finished edit, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just wait and see.
Oh, there we are.
Good times. Well, there we are. Mm. Okay, so we've come to the next section of the podcast, which I've called the product placement section. This is why I don't actually work in broadcasting.
Yeah.
It's or that PR. Kind of creative thinking. Yeah, PR.
I'm really enjoying this can of Coke.
And this is the bit where Dan gets to place his product on our podcast. So, Dan, tell us about Stickums. What is it?
This is the app I've developed. And it's kind of like a reward chart, I'm assuming.
A virtual reward chart.
All parents are aware of the reward chart, mm-hmm. where you say, you've been good, you can have a smiley face.
Oh,
or
my husband's aware of a reward chart.
My daughter was being a little bit of a little monkey when she was sort of 6 or 7.
You can swear on the podcast, just to remind you.
Oh, where my daughter's concerned. We tried the whole reward chart thing, but she very quickly twigged onto the fact that there was absolutely no value to it.
Right.
She was kind of like, you know, okay, so you've drawn a smiley face.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
I can draw a smiley face. Mm. I can wait till you've turned your back and draw many smiley faces. So, but at the same time, I also noticed there was an app she was always playing with. It was like a preschool app where you could like do basic puzzles and stuff. And every few games you beat, you get like a little sticker of a monkey's face. And she got obsessed with this. She was like moving these little monkey faces. And
even though they weren't real stickers, these were just stickers.
Yeah, they were just digital stickers, but they weren't even like characters or anything. It was just like random images. And I sort of had a bit of a light bulb moment. I thought, maybe if I combine the two.
Oh.
So the idea behind Stickums was to have an app that kids would want to play with. Because I looked, you know, on the App Store for, you know, reward chart apps. And there were lots of them, but they were all really boring. They were all, I'm going straight for the competitors here. Like, you're rubbish.
Slag them off.
They were like spreadsheets, basically. Yeah, they were for the parents, not for the kids. And I thought, well, if you make one that's fun for the kids that they want to use, then you can build the reward chart stuff into it, and you've got a tool that will make the kids go, actually, I want to be good because I want to, you know, I want this thing. So the idea was that you set the goals. You know, you say, you know, eat your lunch, eat your vegetables. But every time they do one, you can not do one. Every time they complete a goal, you tick it off. And then they earn some stars, and it's up to you how many stars they get. But then those stars aren't just like, well done, you've got some stars. Those stars then become like a currency for the kid to save up. And they can use those to buy stickers in their side of the app. And they use those stars to unlock stickers from different sticker packs. Like the app is free, and it comes with a free fantasy pack that's got knights and princesses and dragons and things like that. And then there are other ones like monsters and space and things like that. So you can say, you know, oh, you know, I've got, you know, 10 stars, so I'll unlock these two stickers. And then as they build up more stickers, they can make more elaborate scenes. And they are actual character stickers. They're not just like random shapes and things like the one my daughter was obsessed with.
It's genius, isn't it? Do you think
fantastic.
Your kids would go?
Yeah, I think so, because often the reward will be playing with the iPad for something. Like, mm-hmm. I said, we have to sit down, we have to have dinner, and after that you can have iPad for, you know, mm-hmm. set time. So I think anything that involves a bit of eye touch, I play iPads, I think they would really it. Yeah.
The idea is that, you know, the stickers are, they're drawn by a guy called Lou Stringer, who's an artist who's like worked in comics since the 1980s. He works for the Beano.
He used to write Oink, didn't he?
He used to work on Oink. Yeah, he used to work on Oink. He used to work for Buster and all those kind of things. So it's got a real sort of comic strippy feel to it.
So it's out now?
Yes, it's out now. It's free to download. If you want to buy more sticker packs, you can do, but it comes with, like, say, 20 free stickers and 2 backgrounds, so you can...
Yeah, so you can give it a go.
Yeah, if it works.
See if you like it, or think to yourself, this damn whitehead is a massive charlatan.
He knows nothing.
What is he talking about?
That's fantastic. I'm going to download it today. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Helen.
What do your kids think of it? Are they like...
Yeah, I mean, my son's a bit old for that now.
Right.
But my daughter...
Him, you have to... It's fax and phone cards.
Yeah.
What is?
Yeah. But my daughter really likes it. In fact, she was actually... She didn't realise I made helped to make it. I was talking about it.
Because it was too good.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And I was talking about it, and she went, well, Stickums, because she plays it on my iPad with, you know, while we were making it. And I went, yeah, I made that. And she's like, did you? I was like, yeah.
Well, it's time for our next segment. Can we have a theme tune for this one, Helen?
Kids and films. Da, 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 da. Kids and films. Da, 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 da. General chat. Okay, so kids and films is the next section, Dan. Mm. So what's the right age to take the kids to the cinema for the first time?
It depends on the kid, really, doesn't it? Mm. I mean, we took Dylan to see his first film when he was about 3, I think.
Yeah.
It was Chicken Little.
Oh.
The little scene Disney film. But what we did was we waited until it had been out for so long that when we went into the cinema, we were literally the only people in there.
Yeah.
Which meant that even though he was very fidgety and quite frequently got up to walk around, it didn't really matter.
So you should have gone to Peck and Plex. That's never a problem. That is not a problem.
I took Hugo to the Lego movie and he was 2.5 and Matilda was 5. So she was fine. And Will was like, I really want to see this film. So I got the 2.5-year-old duty. And we just went into every different toilet. We went round, opened every door and looked at all the different cinema. So I only saw half of it. But then 6 months later, I took him when he was 3. He was fine. Mm. But yeah, but I think it just depends on the kid, though, as well.
Yeah, I think the big thing is to not be too precious about it the first time.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people, a lot of friends who are sort of like really into films and like, you know, no, the first film they see has got to be magical. It's, you know, because the first film I saw was Star Wars and that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know,
Just
go and see something you think they'll like. And,
yeah.
And don't be sitting there expecting them to be like, oh, I'm in love with cinema now. You know, expect them to fidget like you did when you saw Star Wars, but you've forgotten.
What I really like, and I'm sure it's different from around the world, is in London, a lot of the cinemas on a Saturday morning at about 11 o'clock will offer reruns of old films for £1. So I would reckon Ellie, take Charlie to that.
That's because a good plan.
Yeah.
As a little trial, so we can say, look, this is just a test run. It costs a quid each.
Yeah.
Get some popcorn, get some Haribo, have a little go.
Get them used to the experience first.
Yeah.
And then start to worry about, you know, I must show them the classics, the great films.
Yeah. I really want to show them, like, The Neverending Story and Labyrinth.
Yeah.
And but even I look at those films now and go, oh, it's a bit rapey, isn't it? David Bowie in the grey tights. What's that about?
That's playing with his balls.
Why has that lady got so many hands on her?
It's weird.
Just go down. Yeah.
And I accept that you will see a lot of
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen all the Alvin and the Chipmunks films. I've seen.
Oh, they're terrible.
I've seen both the Smurfs movies.
Oh.
I've even seen Furry Vengeance with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
And that film ends with CGI animals dancing to Cypress Hill's Insane in the Membrane.
Wow.
Which is pretty much, you know, you sat there with, you know, two small kids, you know, both banged their heads on the floor because they were rolling around, crying their eyes out, and you just think, this is what I was dreaming of.
Cypress Hill would have wanted
Brendan Fraser
this way.
Dancing with rapping animals, accompanied by two screaming children who are not enjoying this in the slightest. This is perfect. This will foster a love of cinema.
Well, there we are. I think that'll probably do for that bit.
Yes.
Do you think?
Kids and film. Kids and film.
Yep.
In a nutshell.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice riff.
Can you claim that as a phrase when it's just like a common phrase already?
I have.
Okay. Trademark.
Fantastic. So we've come to my favourite part of the podcast, which is Scummy Mummy Confessions, Ellie.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to go a bit Scabby Daddy tonight.
Okay. Yes.
Dan.
Don't worry, Dan, you can be involved. I can see by the look on your face, you're very relieved to hear that.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
Ellie, my confession is sort of film related. I'm a big Star Wars fan. I was a prequels apologist for many years. I've sort of finally come to accept that perhaps those films aren't as good as I might have argued quite vociferously, some would say, for many years. So I was like very excited to show my son Star Wars. And like when he was 2, and I mean like not 2.5, I mean like 2, A New Hope was on the TV.
and I like let him watch a bit of it. And Pete was like, do you think this is a good idea? And I was like, what are you talking about? This is why I'm life lessons.
This is art.
Yes, yeah.
And Alison my mum was Ford.
Like, I really don't know. And I was like, you two just, I know my son. He's ready. And of course, you know, was absolutely terrified.
Yeah.
Probably had nightmares about, you know, burning skeletons lying in the desert under three suns for the next 2 weeks. And went around for the next month trying to hit everything with what he calls a lightsaber.
Yes.
To this day.
Good.
I wasn't very proud of myself. So I'm not very proud of myself. I learned my lesson about, you know, kids and films. So Dan, do you have a scabby daddy confession for
I
us?
Do. It's not film related though.
That's all right. That's okay.
Mine is from when Dylan, our oldest, was very young, sort of just about a toddler. And he was visiting my dad, who lives in quite a nice, you know, a nice area. And it was a lovely hot summer's day, and I went round after work to pick him up, and they were all out in the garden. He had his little sun hat on, his little dungarees and everything. He was running around on the grass. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, because, you know, kids love to make up words and stuff like that, he starts shouting, "Fuckery, buggery, fuckery, buggery!" And my dad sort of looked at me like, really? But the thing is, he had made those words up. In his head, he just thought, they sound like fun words to shout. I'm going to shout those.
Oh, man.
But the two words he chose were fuckery and buggery. And it was like, but he was shouting it. And it was like a summer's day, so there's people out in their garden sort of looking over the fence going, what is that child
doing? Dear me.
And yeah, and everyone was kind of going, let's just not say anything and hope that that doesn't become a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Can I ask you to share your other confession? Because you very kindly came to see our show in Manchester last year. I'm sure it was the best night in a Thai restaurant / comedy club you've ever enjoyed.
Best night of my life.
And we have it at the end of the show, as we talked about before, we have a confession section where we get the audience to write down their confessions. Mm. And your confession didn't win, but I kind of wish it had. Will you share it with our listeners now? Please do.
Because I can't believe I'm the only person who does this or did this. Whenever I was changing the nappies, I would always like use far too much talcum powder, just in the hope that they would fart and create a little baby volcano. Just a little.
I love that. I just think that's a lovely story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, laughing at children is always funny, isn't it?
That's good. Right. That's it.
That's it, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Dan Whitehead, for being a wonderful guest.
Thank you for having me.
Dan Whitehead.
He's a man who's made a reward chart app.
He's a nice chap.
Yeah, when you're doing your adverts.
All your app.
The little melon soup. Yes, so the app's called Stickums, and it's Stickums, out now.
Stickums.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to send us your Scummy Mummy confession, it's scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
I'm still eating the dip, sorry.
Okay, I'll talk about social media then.
Yeah, could you?
Join us on social media. We're at Scummy Mummies on Twitter. I've got a bit Steve Priestley. Yes. All right, thanks again, Dan.
You're welcome.
You're free to go.
God for that.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
And actually, like, it's a movie special, Illy. It's a cut.
Oh,
no, what we should have said, ba 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 ba.
I think it's like a weird version of the Pearl
of Dean. Is she trying to do Pearl of Dean? That's not that Pearl of Dean goes. No, it isn't.
Ba 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 ba.
You just went when you hear this back on the outtakes at the end of French, you're gonna know, you're gonna see that we're right. Now you're just beatboxing.
And then you need like a grainy slide for a curry shop that's round the corner.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh my god, do you know what, that entire hour and a half was worth recording just to hear you doing the
it's like a scat version.
Literally.
Shut up. Shut you all.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.